Brian and Craig, you're going to let me know if you want in. Otherwise, I'll leave you out. I just stopped the show for a second. We'll get to Matt. Just 1 minute, please. All right, so we just finished with Michael, Aaron, Woody. And I began the show with concern about the rhetoric, the attacks on election officials, attacks on public health officials, right? And I was trying to make the case that it would be wise and responsible to kind of tone things down. And then we heard the callers. Hi, Vita. Well, if you're a Trump supporter, you're in a cult. Garth, Trump is a white nationalist. All right. I'm coming back to my point. Language matters. And if we are to move forward as a country, I know just a small market guy. I don't have the audience that Rush Limbaugh does it, but does not make my passion any less or my heart any smaller. We don't want to be attacking public health officials. We don't want Lou Dobbs calling William Barr a fool or a liar, just for, in my opinion, stating the obvious. And the left, okay, Nazis, cult, white nationalists, stop throwing these terms out. If you want to call in and say, okay, he is a blank, and here's why, we will listen to a well-reasoned argument. But the rhetoric must be toned down. Here's Matt Hoy. Mr. Hoy.
That's not going to sell ads, Dave.
I know. And you're a bona fide conservative, so before we get to the topic we agreed on, you heard the last hour. I want to give you a chance to comment.
You are 100% right, Dave, that we shouldn't be attacking public health officials. We shouldn't be attacking election officials. We shouldn't be, absent real evidence. And I haven't seen anything that I would consider, real evidence that there was widespread fraud and Trump actually won the election. That didn't happen. Having said that, I appreciate your efforts, Dave. I think you're tilting at windmills, because it's not people saying, hey, let's calm down, let's not demonize other people. That's not kind of where our society is right now.
Yeah, I agree.
You used to be able to disagree on politics and still talk about, and still be friends with people who have totally opposite politics views. Nowadays, there are a lot of people who are on radio, on cable news, on various, internet, so on social media and on news media sites online, that there isn't any live and let live. The other side is evil, and they must be eradicated. I mean, you've got people. It's like once it was apparent that Joe Biden had won the presidency, you had people on Twitter on the left who had been calling Trump a fascist up until 15 minutes ago. Talking about making lists of people who worked in his administration and whatnot, and we're going to blackball them or worse. So, I'm dismayed by the whole situation. Really, it's sad. I've been accused of things online that aren't true. I got into it with one of my high school English teachers on Facebook, where he accused me of some things, of taking some positions. And I said, well, point to where I did that in my Facebook response to you. And his response was, well, there's nothing there. I'm not going to look for it, but that's kind of the way you sounded. And like, this is my high school English teacher. This is the guy that told me, well, if you're going to write an essay and take a position, then you must find the evidence in the text. Yeah. And here he is accusing me. It blew my mind. I lost cause. So, yeah.
There we go.
I don't know.
All right. Anything else you want to say about labeling before we move on?
Yeah. As you've said, you know, if you want to make a case, you know, present evidence. And
that's the way it used to be.
Go ahead.
No, I said that's the way it used to be. But here we
that's
go.
That's the way it used to.
Here's the text. I just you heard what I said. You heard mm-hmm. what I said. Here's somebody. Sorry, Dave. Anyone who twists himself into a pretzel to defend this psycho in the White House after everything he has said and done is in the Trump cult.
Oh, because until he said Trump, I thought he was going to say Biden. But
my point is, it's not about whether or not Donald Trump is incompetent and qualified, mentally challenged. It's with the language that we use, because language has consequences. And we have the Secretary of State down in Georgia asking the president to please tone it down because he's concerned for his safety and the safety of his staff. And I'm just trying to suggest it'd be wise if we all tone down the language a little bit. That's all I'm trying to say.
That would be wonderful, Dave. I hope it happens. I hope it does.
I hope it happens in our lifetime. All right. Let's take the first break early. We'll come back with Matt Hoy and get into the topic at hand. We're going to talk about newspapers and the fact that more and more newspapers are getting donations from readers as opposed to subscriptions. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. By the way, you're invited to check out Matt Hoy's website at hoystory.com, H-O-Y. As we continue our conversation with Matt, the topic I invited him to discuss I find interesting. It has to do with newspapers, whether it is the traditional newspaper that you hold in your hand or a digital newspaper. I subscribe to the Tribune digitally. And I also subscribe to the Washington Post. Matt, do you have any subscriptions to newspapers?
I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. That's the only newspaper. I subscribe to several news magazines, but yeah. The Wall Street Journal is the only newspaper.
Is that a digital for you?
Yeah, that's digital. I don't think they would even deliver a physical newspaper up here to Paso for the Wall Street Journal.
So the premise of all this is that more and more newspapers, particularly small town newspapers, are turning to more than subscriptions, but to donations. What's happening?
Well, I mean, you know, the Slow Tribunes, you know, had a couple of kind of crowdfunding type campaigns to help their coverage. It's reasonably new, I think, for this to be kind of going on at the for local newspapers that are kind of part of a bigger newspaper group or corporation. For 15 or 20 years, there have been several usually online websites that are specifically founded as nonprofits, and they, you know, do the same sort of things that PBS does, you know, when you watch a PBS station.
Like CalMatter, CalMatters.com, or CalMatters.org?
CalMatters.org is one of them. They got Dan Walters from the Sacramento Bee to come over and write for them. My last newspaper job was in San Diego at the Union Tribune. Down there, they have a site called voiceofsandiego.org that is, similar, that covers, you know, San Diego. And, you know, generally those sites, you know, they do some pretty good journalism. You know, things, your, readers may, or your listeners may have already heard of, like ProPublica.org. Mm-hmm. You know, those, so it's not uncommon for there to be what, you know, nonprofit journalism groups that take funding, you know, that ask for donations of, you know, donations rather than subscriptions. Because, you know, again, lots of these are doing things online, so it's not like a daily, you get a newspaper every day. They may update every day their website, or they may not. Maybe something, you know, big comes out every, you know, once a week or every other week. What's a little new is, at least with the Tribune doing it, is they are owned by a hedge fund right now. And I assume the money stays here in San Luis Obispo, and I assume that, you know, the Tribune spends it on, you know, keeping reporters employed and doing research and, you know, that sort of thing. But it's a little... to me, it's a little odd when it's a for-profit corporation that's kind of asking for money above and beyond what a regular subscription would be. I understand right. why they do it, but it's kind of sad because, I mean, you know, over the past decade or so, the number of, you know, staff at the Tribune have diminished over time.
And they're working from home now, right?
They no longer print the, you know, if you were to be a subscriber to the print paper, that's not printed here. I think it's either printed in Fresno or Modesto. So, you know, you don't have the people, you know, running the presses here. I saw something in the past week or so that, the Kansas City Star, which used to be owned by McClatchy, which owned the Tribune, in 2005, they built over two blocks in downtown Kansas City, a huge, building, eight-story building to house their state-of-the-art printing press along with offices and some other stuff. They spent $200 million on it. They sold the property for about $30 million, and it's basically, you know, basically the state-of-the-art press has been abandoned.
Wow.
It's just sitting there.
Wow.
And that's 15 years later. I mean, talk about the wrong time to kind of invest in the print product, huh?
Yeah. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. So, like, both the Tribune and New Times are now actively soliciting donations above and beyond, in the Tribune's case, subscriptions. They had a successful campaign last spring, I believe it was.
Yeah, you know, the latest kind of plea for money is front and center on the, if you go to sanluisobispo.com, it's up there on the in the upper left hand corner of the website. Smartly, it doesn't require a subscription to the paper to click through and read the request for money.
Yeah.
But they raised more than $51,000 in the spring. You know, that's like a year's salary for a reporter, probably. But I think they're asking for $30,000 more now, and I think last I checked they were at about $13,000 or so. They had raised about $13,000 of the $30,000 that they want for this next project. But, it looks like that may be the way you need to go. The papers that are thriving right now are the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the ones that are doing national reporting because people, since Trump took office, people kind of care more about what's happening in Washington, D.C. and national policies. That leaves kind of local newspapers in the lurch because people aren't generally, you know, don't care as much, sadly, about what's happening locally until something really, you know, raises their ire. Without the local newspapers, you know, things don't get covered, information doesn't get out. And, you know, it's been shown in studies that, you know, kind of corruption grows in local government when there isn't anybody, you know, focusing on it. So that's the shrinking of local newspapers and fewer journalists, you know, covering City Hall or the school board and raising questions really, you know, hurts you locally. Paso Robles, you know, the grand jury came out a week or two ago with a report on the Paso Robles school district's kind of mismanagement that turned a 10+% operating surplus into a, you know, rainy day fund into a 0.39%, and ton of money wasted. There was all sorts of sketchy kind of hires and inside, you know, dealing and whatnot. And that only basically came to people's attention when the thing imploded.
Right.
When, you know, okay, they've cleared this area for this pool, you know, that's going to have, you know, Olympic sized swimming pool and stands and a snack bar and all this other sort of stuff. And the money's not there anymore.
Right. Matt Hoy. I'm sorry. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. A legitimate question on the Stolberg Law KVC text line in the 2 minutes before the news break. Is the Tribune being hurt because it leans so far to the left?
I don't think it helps. How much it hurts? It's very possible it hurts. You know, lots of the media have seen, and I've been on here talking about this before. When I was actually writing a column once every 2 weeks for the Tribune, I, you know, pointed this out. You know, journalists, far too many journalists abandoned everything they had been taught in J school because Trump was a special kind of evil, and so we will toss out even attempting objectivity. And I think it's hurt them. It certainly hasn't helped them. I think lots of media, from the Tribune to the New York Times, would do well if they hired people who can write and can report, and who are not kind of beholden to the political and woke left that seems to be all the rage right now.
All right, Matt Hoy is with us. Check out his website at hoystory.com. We're talking about what's happening with newspapers right now, especially the fact that a lot of the smaller market newspapers are shifting over to a donation model. You used to be able just to subscribe to a newspaper. You can still do that digitally. But now many newspapers are also asking you to donate on top of that. We're also looking at the ongoing debate over bias in newspapers as well. And I'm just curious, and we'll welcome your phone calls when we come back. Do you subscribe to newspapers online or traditional? Anyway, looking forward to hearing from you. Let's go to ABC Radio News and California Headline News. Craig updates us on Time Saver traffic and weather together. A lot more to come with our conversation with Matt. Glad you're with us this evening. Stick around. Thank you, sir. We always enjoy our conversation with Matt Hoy. Joins us. Hoystory.com is his website. We're talking about what's happening with newspapers these days and how many newspapers, including our local papers, New Times and the Tribune, are asking for donations from time to time. Is this the future of newspapers? So we welcome your phone calls on that, and I'm just kind of curious about what newspapers you subscribe to today. If you still read newspapers, I hope you do. I hope you support the local newspapers. Phone lines are open at 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We're very pleased to begin this section with Joe Tirica, the editor of the Tribune. Joe, good evening.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Joe. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. How are the donations coming?
They're coming. They're going along well, actually. It takes some time to go with it, so that's why you have it running for a couple months here now. But yeah, actually, you know, among our the 30 properties we have, we're like right near the top. The readers in Slow County are super supportive of local news. It's really, really heartening.
And how can people donate if they want to participate in this, Joe?
Super easy website. It's givebutter.com/the Tribune.
I'm sorry, give what?
Give Butter.
Give Butter.
Yeah.
Okay.
.com/the Tribune.
All right. So what's the need for this, Joe? What's the thinking on this, please?
So we're just trying to pop up, you know, our resources and our coverage on the county. You know, we've had lots of cuts. I went back and I was asking one of our old publishers, Chip Vesey, from a bit ago, if he remembered what our total newsroom staffing was back, you know, like 15 years ago or so. And it was like in the 50s, you know, and you had like a lot of all the functions that were going on there, all the production, everything was happening there. And, you know, we're down to like 12 people right now. Yes. So we have gaps, you know, in what we want to do.
Yeah.
And we want to shore that up and we want to provide this coverage for this county. But, you know, we don't have all the money to do that. And so McClatchy's gotten really creative about this, and the leader for us really is in Fresno. Fresno B has been a great model for this. They have 10 reporters funded by philanthropy and a couple of labs that they're running out of there, and that was just added to their you know, their newsroom. And so we're trying to see what we can do there. And Give Butter, this, you know, sort of crowdfunding campaign is one of the elements. We're, you know, looking for grants, and we support bringing in some extra resources that way, like our summer fellow that we had was doing science writing. And then we're also going to look for, you know, bigger ways to fund reporting. And that's what, you know, Fresno's been able to do, is pull in some, like, bigger foundation funding.
All right. And just to clarify, the Give Butter, that's just the program that organizes the money, right?
That's the vehicle, yeah, that organizes. It's the local media foundation. So that's the nonprofit that sort of manages this. And, you know, we're looking in the future to actually bring that in-house. We have a new nonprofit wing called the McClatchy Journalism Institute. And that just got its 501c3 status in the spring. So the hope is that we'll run these kinds of things through that operation in the future, and not have to, because right now we're using a public group, and we're not, you know, able to keep even all the dollars. We have to, like, you know, pay for some of that stuff.
Yeah, Matt, you want to ask anything of Joe?
Well, I think some people may be concerned. You know, McClatchy's now owned by a hedge fund. What's the assurance that people who donate to that campaign have that that money is going to the Tribune locally, staying local, and being used for that reporting, and not, you know, and not padding some hedge fund manager's pockets?
Right. I mean, insurance, that's what they tell us. That's why we're doing this. And I, you know, I trust them because we went through the first go round on this, and in the spring, that campaign was to prevent a loss of reporting during COVID coverage. And If you track, the New York Times had a great story on this, where they went through and looked at all of the losses that occurred to newspapers around the country. And you're talking big chains, you know, Gannett, lots of little papers all over the place, mm-hmm. were facing pay cuts, layoffs, furloughs, just everything, you know, everything. We didn't lose a single hour in the newsroom here or across McClatchy. And it was because, you know, in a large part of that campaign, and for us locally, you know, it definitely protected that coverage. Right. So, you know, we could have easily faced furloughed reporters, lost, you know, right. months of reporting time and content, that didn't happen.
Yeah. So, Joe, when do you know when it's time for a campaign? Is this a decision you make, or who makes it?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's a corporate, corporate initiative. So So, you know, they're actually, this is part of that whole experimentation. And one of the questions is, like, how many campaigns, you know, do you do? Like, is it a once a year thing? Is it a 4 times a year thing? Like, what, you know, how much can the community, you know, support? And, you know, what kind of a case can you make for this portion of it? So I think it's all going to come into, you know, play as we sort of move along forward here and see, like, what other kinds of philanthropy we can scare up to, you know, shore up and hopefully, you know, get long-term commitments that allow us to fund reporters in multiple years. So that's kind of the aim going forward. But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure, like, what this particular part of the campaign looks like going forward, but, you know, it could be, like, multiple times a year maybe.
All right, Mr. Tirico, we appreciate your joining us. Thank you for taking the time to call in as we continue with Matt Hoy and your phone calls at 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Bonnie's been waiting very patiently in Arroyo Grande. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're good, Bonnie. How are you?
Pretty well. Happy holidays.
And to you. Thank you.
I'm calling to ask, and I might be wrong, has the paper diminished in physical size, the dimensions or the width of it?
Matt?
I'm sure it has. It has for just about every newspaper. And, you know, it's, I don't know when they specifically changed that at the Tribune, but if you were to compare the physical size of the newspaper today, especially the width, it is quite a bit narrower than it was 10 or 15 years ago. And it's just a cost-saving measure.
I have a friend who saved an article, I think, from the late 60s, and it was the front page, and I bought a picture frame, and as I picked up the local paper, I thought, this doesn't seem quite the same.
Yeah, times change. Yeah. So Bonnie, do you subscribe to papers? Do you subscribe to the Tribune?
No, I don't. I have a friend, and also my mother, that reads the paper daily,
yeah,
cover to cover. My mother's passed away a few years ago, but he's not a young gentleman, he's in his 80s, reads the entire paper cover to cover every day.
All right. So what would it take you to get a subscription to the Tribune?
A new man.
A new
in
man.
My life.
Oh.
that will get the paper, but he could order it.
Oh, I see.
I would read it with him.
All right, but you could read it online.
I can read it online. And one thing that disturbs me about online is, like on Facebook, if you have a certain view, you get dropped. And some of these other online communities, you get dropped if you exercise your freedom of speech. I don't like that.
Yeah. And Matt, I don't know that happens with the Tribune.
No, I don't think that happens. That's, you know, that's social media and whatnot. That's not something that, you know, happens with the local paper. But, you know, I'll say this. If he reads the paper from cover to cover every day, it takes him less time than it did 5-10 years ago.
Yeah. All right, Bonnie, thank you very much for calling in. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Matt Hoy back on Hometown Radio. We're talking about what's happening with newspapers. We've got Carol in Shell Beach. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, Carol.
I would like to discuss how much it costs to take the Tribune. We started taking the Tribune over 20 years ago, and it was under $20 a month. And then it jumped to $40 a month, and then it jumped to $60 a month. And when I called customer service, it was somebody in the Philippines who lowered it to $42 a month. I think this is an important discussion because how can we take this paper when it's over $60 a month?
Is it the paper or your digital?
Yes. It's a paper plus the internet.
Huh.
But that is more than we pay for our internet connection.
And Craig, you're saying your mom, same thing?
Yeah, same thing. The cost went through the roof, so she dropped it.
Yeah.
And then someone called and said, oh, well, we can do this price. And it's like, what's the price? It seems like they're negotiating and doing all kinds of things. when there should be a set price for how much does it cost to deliver the newspaper?
Well, maybe I'm confused. And I pay $9.99 a month and I read it online.
Well,
$9.99
paper daily, and we go online, and that was over $40 a month. By me calling in, one is going to be over $60 a month.
Yeah, Matt.
So something's happening that's not a local norm.
Matt. Well, so a couple of things here. First off, I think if you go on the website right now, they were offering $20 for a year of online access only. So that sounds like a deal to me. As far as the cost of the paper, it's gone through the roof. It has. And the reason is, you know, it's an advertising issue. Your subscription to the newspaper used to be, I don't know what the exact percentage was, but it was maybe newspaper subscriptions, the amount basically covered having somebody deliver it to you. You know, they made a little bit of profit, but most of, you know, your monthly, you know, when you had a carrier come around each month and collect it or you mailed it in, most of that was paying the carrier. Most of the money to support the, you know, to the newsroom and the journalists and the, you know, it was all done by advertising. Right. And that has cratered. It not, you know, so it's display ads, you know, it's the ads that come with the Sunday paper, you know, put in the middle that usually made the, at times made the Sunday paper. I mean, that thing was an inch and a half thick down in San Diego.
Sure.
Maybe 2 inches.
Sure.
That's gone away. Newspapers used to make pretty darn good money from classified ads. I mean, a little three-line ad with tiny, tiny type, and run for 2 weeks, you know, would cost you 20 or 30 bucks. Mm. You know, if you wanted to sell your car or something. Now there's Craigslist and it's free, or Facebook Marketplace and it's free.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been the drop in advertising that has put, you know, the squeeze on newspapers, and they haven't been able to, nobody's really been able to figure out a funding model that makes up for that.
Well, this nonprofit thing might be it. What Joe was describing. Yeah. Carol, what else can you say? I'm sorry.
I just don't know how much longer we can do this. It's our choice to do this. But I heard what Craig said, and I think we should drop it, and they'll offer it to us cheaper. Because at this point, the cost is ridiculous.
Is this the only paper you subscribe to?
Yes.
Okay. So how much, I'm sorry, how much are you paying for the Tribune?
It's over $40 a month.
Yeah. So, Matt, do you agree with Craig's strategy? Drop it and try to get a better price?
That works with lots of things. My wife did that with our DirecTV bill, and it's been very nice the past few months. Our DirecTV bill's half what it was.
Right.
You call them in, tell them you want to cancel, and they'll, you know, they offer you a deal. That happens with a lot of stuff.
All right, Carol, thank you. If you're just joining us, Matt Hoy is on this broadcast. His website is hoystory.com, hoystory.com. We're just talking about small market newspapers like the Tribune, like New Times, who more and more are finding themselves in the situation where on top of a subscription, like with the Tribune, they're actually asking for a donation from time to time to fund special projects. Back on the phones we go. Eric is on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, I guess the problem I have, and really I don't mind giving to local businesses, but when it comes to the Tribune, they're owned by a hedge fund, correct?
Yes.
And I have a problem giving to a hedge fund. You know, even though it's a local business, you're giving to investors, you know, and if I'm going to give to investors, I pretty much expect something back in, you know, my line of work. And I just don't get it given to, it's not really to me giving to a local business. You're giving it to investors.
Matt, what do you say?
Well, if you go on, you know, the Tribune's campaign page, and this is, you know, one of the things that I think makes it attractive to some people, is it's this money is not going to McClatchy directly. It's being given to the Tribune through a 501c3 charitable trust called the Local Media Foundation. So you know, one thing that, you know, people may like is you give to this, you know, initiative by the Tribune, you get to write it off. It's not like a newspaper subscription where that's just money, I mean, money out the door. If you donate in this fashion, it's a tax write-off. You know, and that's, you know, that's kind of the question I tried to ask Joe when he was on was, you know, and he, I'm not sure, he seemed to reassure people that, look, this money was coming to the newsroom. It was being spent to make sure that, you know, reporters weren't furloughed. And I worked for the Union Tribune down in San Diego for almost 9 years before I got laid off. And before I got laid off, there were furloughs.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you've got to take, you know, in the next 3 months, you've got to take 4 days off and you're not going to get paid for them.
Right.
And you can't use vacation days. And that's how they're going to save money. That didn't happen here.
I think the argument still is you're giving to a charity in order to benefit investors of a hedge fund group. I mean, that's just right. It's ridiculous to me. Right.
But Eric, do you subscribe to the Tribune?
You know, honestly, when I look stuff online, they're actually very well positioned online, and I do have, I think, I do not, because the whole, I haven't liked how they ran things for a while.
All right.
But they are well positioned locally, I think.
What does that mean, well positioned local? What does that mean?
When I look up local issues online, a lot of times they're sometimes the first two, you know, Google spots when you look things up, but then you click it and you can't read it. And it's kind of maddening, you know, because they want you to subscribe.
Yeah. All right, Eric, thank you. We got Jack on KVEC. Hi, Jack.
Dave, as an old advertising sales hack myself, I was looking at today's Wall Street Journal print edition.
Okay.
Which I get in addition to the San Luis the Tribune every day, delivered to my driveway. And in the Wall Street Journal, they had an article concerning the rise of digital advertising for the first time in history. It will exceed 53 or 54% of all advertising spending next year. And then it broke it out by, you know, billboards, other magazines, newspapers, radio, and TV. You know, TV and, and digital advertising, they sop up the bulk of it, leaving everybody else fighting for what's the scraps. And in publishing, it's paper, printing, postage, and people, and all of those things are going to get cut given the ongoing environment in print advertising, I would guess.
But
I'm a big believer in print. I love maybe I'm just stuck in this cave here in San Luis, but I love reading print.
How many subscriptions do you have, Jack?
Print subscriptions?
Yeah.
I suppose in a given month, we've got a dozen coursing through the house.
Wow. Do you subscribe to the Tribune?
Yes, we do.
Good.
Yes, we do.
Matt, short answer, please.
I was asked. I was a guest at a wedding a few years ago, and somebody asked me, "Well, when are print newspapers going to die?" And these were some friends, family friends that were the same age as my parents. And I basically said, "Well, it's kind of when you guys die. Once you get to kind of Gen Xers who are just fine with digital, you're not going to get news on a paper anymore."
Yeah. All right, Jack, good to hear from you. Stay warm. We got Scott on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave, again. Hello,
Scott.
Matt.
Hi.
The last caller said print, and print to me is really important. You know, you said something, Matt, earlier, Craigslist. And you had the editor on KVEC, Dave, I believe about 4 months ago.
Yes.
And I called in and said, you know, your biggest problem is Craigslist because, you know, the classifieds was their revenue. They don't have that revenue anymore. If they don't have this hedge fund company, I don't see them lasting very long. They're desperate. They're very, very desperate. It's like the stamp, right? the more you raise the price of the stamp, the less people will send envelopes in the mail. They'll just go and use bill pay.
So do you subscribe to any paper, Scott?
Right now, the Epoch Times. But
newspaper.
Yeah, newspaper. Yeah. They do have, the Epoch Times has a newspaper print.
It's a joke.
But I agree with Matt that the Wall Street Journal is a fabulous paper. But, you know, I said this last time to the editor, don't rely on the New York Times and Washington Post on everything. You got to be a little bit centric and put, you know, the Washington Examiner or some other.
We got to go. Scott, thank you. Matt Hoy, great job. HoyStory.com is the website. I give you about a minute for a final thought, sir.
Yeah, you know, this is something, this funding model, something that may keep newspapers alive a little bit longer. I've got a feeling that the future is either a lot of kind of nonprofits along the lines of NPR or, you know, how those ones work, or if you get lucky, you can get a rich billionaire who will fund you. Sometimes that works out okay, like the San Diego Union Tribune and LA Times were owned by a guy who's a billionaire. He seems to be running it okay. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. That seems to be going okay. On the flip side, you've got, you know, Wendy McCaw down there who still owns the News Press. And I think that's been, you know, that's the downside of having Knight in Shining Armor come and save your papers.
So, we're out of here. Thanks for coming to save the 6 o'clock hour. Matt Hoy of HoyStory.com. This is Hometown Radio. I thought we were going to get through the show without having listened to the last PSA, but oh well. What a show! Thank you. Thank you for supporting local radio. Thanks again to Matt Hoy. Thanks to Craig Hill for his help. Thanks to all the guests, and thank you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.